It's the national hour on the Real Kipper and Bourne show. We are live on 650 in Vancouver, Sportsnet 960 in Calgary. This hour of Real Kipper and Bourne brought to you by Bet365. In a few minutes, we'll welcome in Jody Shelley, former NHLer, now covering the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs for TNT. Get into a ton, including Edmonton and Vegas, where we expect changes to the Edmonton Oilers lineup. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee.
You know, it's hotly contested playoff time when we talk just as much during the break about the game.
The mics
went off and it was five straight minutes of just continued conversation. We didn't stop. Maybe
more language.
A little more language involved.
Crazy weekend. We saw Florida Panthers get right back in the series, and we also saw Vegas get right back in their series.
What a tough Canadian weekend.
On
DA must be having a tough
what was
day.
Just one of the craziest finishes to a 60-minute game in Stanley Cup playoffs than I can ever remember.
I don't even know what to say. Like, here we go. Look at the clock. 3-2. I love Skinner being aggressive, out pushing.
No good Skinner there pushing.
Hold on. Not good Skinner, but I don't mind him being like selling out on the save. Just stay in the net. Maybe
where's the right leg to come out? Why is it tucked in?
I thought you just like kind of coming out to cut off the angle. There's no time left in the clock.
But just get your right leg out, and the puck never comes through the crease.
Now, to be clear, it's not good. They scored on a 1-on-3 with seconds left. Oh, that's tough. It's probably going wide, far side.
It doesn't go in.
If I can kind of remember, I think the puck was behind Vegas's net with about 11 seconds to go.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy.
Yeah.
And I give Darnell Nurse full credit because, you know, the blue line up until the last game had really done a nice job. Mm-hmm. You know, they've between Nurse and Bouchard, they've really limited their mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
But when there's a dozen seconds and the puck is 200 feet away, and you watch William Karlsson on a 1-on-3, like Darnell, there should be no chance that you give up the blue line to him, mm-hmm. and he gets a free pass to go by you and get the puck first in the corner. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, but like for him to go out there and even have an opportunity at a hoper, and that's all throwing the puck in the middle of the ice is just a hoper. And by then he's caught. He's trying to slide out for a block shot, and it was just a disaster. But the easy access for William Karlsson to get over the blue line was a big problem.
You know, I know that this, you know, a lot has gone the Oilers' way here in this series. It feels like they have the upper hand. Still, you know, another game in Edmonton felt like, but that goal really changes how you feel about the series.
Do you see the right leg, what I'm talking about?
Yes, I do. You're right.
But
he shuffled, and then he caught his pad inside.
I don't think any Edmonton Oilers fan wants to hear, in defense of Stu Skinner,
I don't think you should do it.
Game is over. Like, he's coming out there, like, there's 1 second left on the clock. He's trying to attack him. He thinks the horn's going
to
go off.
To me, it's like, though, he can be a bubble hockey track goal.
I don't know. The game is over. But
sure should be.
God.
That's a heartbreaker.
And they're up 2-1.
Yeah.
And Knobloch wants to make some changes.
Kasperi Kapanen is coming in for Victor Arvidsson. Arvidsson getting a healthy scratch treatment.
See, I love the thought that we need 23 guys to win a Stanley Cup. We need 24, whatever we have right now. And, you know, if there's guys that maybe have lost a little bit of energy it's a great tool for coach to have, that we believe in 23 of us, not just the guys that played last game.
Stanley Cup playoffs started, I want to say, almost exactly 4 weeks ago today, and now is about the time when you would say the big rosters, the deeper teams, start to have some advantage. The Leafs have 14 forwards. They have Kampf and Robertson not in. Philip Myers on D, yeah. The guy they can use. You know, Edmonton's the same way. They have some guys who can come in and out of the lineup. So not every team can do that. Nice to take advantage of that. Florida just flipped their entire fourth line, scored the game winner on Friday night.
Did you hear Bieksa talking about how, like, and it's something I never thought was actually a thing, but the dog days of the playoffs, where, like, you're in the middle of the second round. It's really starting. It was interesting to hear that.
Yeah.
You'd never think that.
You think every game is.
It's just such a long road.
Yeah.
To get, like, think about, like, the Leafs have won 6 games. Like, how many more you got to get? Like, oh, yeah. Like, it's just, it's
I've
such.
I've never heard that talk in my life.
No. Never heard it.
Ever.
Were you surprised by that?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you don't agree with Kevin?
No, he has a right to feel the way he feels.
Yeah.
I just don't ever recall. I played, like, I don't know, maybe 36, 38 NHL playoff games in my career.
Yeah.
I don't ever recall one of them, and I went to a conference final. Never have I ever heard that type of talk.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he has a right to feel that way. I can't take away the way he could feel. And he went to a Stanley Cup final. He went to a game 7. They fell short, unfortunately.
I wonder, too.
I think part of the reason why he could maybe look back is because maybe he lost, too.
Yeah.
Like, there's no reward for going that far and then losing a Stanley Cup.
I think, on the other hand, you know, it depends your role. And, you know, like, I doubt guys, like, who are excited to get out there and be energy guys and get 10 minutes or whatever are the same as Marner, who's got to play 23 a night for all that time. I'm sure there's different levels of energy that are required for those jobs.
And it's also the emotional roller coaster of this is great and this really sucks right now. So it's easy when you've won 2 in a row, and when you lose 2 in a row, it usually falls down back on those guys that you're talking about who are making, who are paying the price with 23 minutes a night. So it is physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually draining this time of year. And it's all about the guys that are left standing. All right. Jody Shelley joins us now, doing a terrific job covering the Stanley Cup playoffs. Jody, how are you, pal?
I'm great. How are you guys doing? Can you hear me? I'm in a stairwell here.
Oh, you're doing great. You look great.
Great
suit. Yeah. You know, I can't Thank smell you, but I'm sure there's a cologne in there somewhere.
Not bad.
All right. Just playing off of Kevin Bieksa's comments on sometimes there could be a certain window where maybe guys feel a little drained during this run. Do you buy into it? Do you see it? Can you feel it? Or because it is a true marathon and a sprint all at the same time this time of year, isn't it?
Yeah, you can feel it. You can sense it with some players. I think it's situational, like you said, a win, a goal, a segment of a game to feel good about. I thought the other night when I did the Washington game, they were energized in the first period. They were playing their game. They were feeling, everyone felt important. They were on the same page. And then the third period, trying to chase the Carolina Hurricanes, they looked defeated. They looked frustrated. But then yesterday was a day off. They regrouped. They watched some hockey. They had a team meal. Today they walk in the building. I sense that they have it. They have their energy back. But it's interesting to see how long, what can go right in this game tonight, like any game, for these guys to get going. Ovi's got to get going. You know, there's, I think when a player like that isn't going, it takes another bit of energy out of the team. When your good guys are feeling good and you feel like you have that team play going, that's where you get your energy, I think, this time of year.
So we've talked quite a bit. There's a Canadian team in 3 of the remaining 4 series. So we've talked a lot about them. We haven't talked a lot about this Washington-Carolina series, and I'd love to, you know, hear some focus on it. How do you handicap the rest of this series? Carolina up 2-1. What's the vibe in that one?
It's like everything, it's razor thin. And there's a team in Carolina who is probably the easiest team to scout against because you know what they're doing.
Right.
Everyone in the league, and Spencer Carberry said it's the easiest pre-scout in the league for any coach because you know exactly how they're going to play the game. They're hard, they're in your face, it's give up the puck and get it back with speed, it's overwhelm. And then you have Washington, and you almost feel like Carolina is playing their game to keep Washington off their game. You know what I mean? Like, Washington wants to go. They want to play up tempo. They want to have the puck. They want to drive it. They don't have the puck in this series. And the first game, the shot attempts were talked about. It was so lopsided one way. But still, Washington could have came to Carolina up 2-0 because it's still that game where the goalies are making key saves at a key time. The power play is or isn't clicking at a key time. The penalty kill has been doing well. And on last game, momentum shifted with a bump on Tom Wilson. The crowd here gets into it. They score a goal right away, and then Washington was on their heels. So the skill of Washington against the game plan of Carolina hasn't been very good right so far. Washington's only played one period where they feel like they've got to their game. And I think this might be a series, if they are going to win, they might have to be satisfied not getting to their game, meaning be patient when you're down one. You know what I mean? Even when you're up one, you still have to realize there's no time and space. There's going to be surges, and you have to stick with what you are.
Jody, as far as the goaltending is concerned here, you know, a lot of us waited for Carolina to go out there and trade for a goalie, and they never did. And is it based on that predictability of the way Carolina plays is the main reason why that, you know, if we do what we're supposed to do from our defense, our blue line and our forwards, then you don't really need a $6 or $8 million goalie.
I mean, Freddie Anderson played, he kept his team in it in the first period of the last game.
Yeah.
But the problem with Freddie, you don't know when he's going to be out again. And that's a lot, that's a lot of angst, if you will, because when he's in, he's good. They don't spend money on goalies here. They just don't. And they Kochetkov has shown signs of being able to carry it. Their defensive play, it's interesting. When it breaks down, it really breaks down. You know, when they're on the same page, they're hard to play against. They're churning. They're plunging down the walls. It's as a player, you look at it and you think, boy, you go shift after shift, and you feel like maybe you should just go out and go wall them back, and come off, because it feels like you're not getting anything done out there. So, I think when they're on, they're really good. But I think when you have puck possession against them, and you break them down, they do need the goaltending. I think they need the goaltending because you look at any series. When that one goal goes in with this razor thin margin, that's when everything shifts. And that's when things start to go the other way, the opposite of what you want. So it'll be interesting to see if Freddie can stay in this series and play like he did last game in the first period. They're going to make a lot more noise than what people probably think right now. But if it goes the other way, this could create some problems.
We'll keep it in the East. The winner of that series, we get the winner of Florida-Toronto. That series all tied up at 2. Florida looking like the Stanley Cup champion that we have seen them be the last couple of games. Does that kind of leave you in a spot where you feel like Florida's going to find a way through?
I really like Toronto. I mean, I think we all go to that because of the defending Stanley Cup champions. I think they got a big boost from Ekblad getting back. They have size. I think we're going to see what Toronto's made of here.
Yeah.
You know, Wall played really well last night. I think that's a huge factor for the Maple Leafs. They still have guys that need to get going. I think that it's their time. It's their time to make their mark as superstars in the league in the playoffs. You know, was the Marner dialogue coming into this, but now Matthews needs to get going. I think he does, and I think that that's going to cause a big problem for the Florida Panthers. I like how they played Bobrovsky in the first game, the first couple of games. They were on top of him. They were bumping him. You know, the crease has got to be taken care of. And he's not the biggest guy, but I think they can wear him down a little bit if they keep going to that net and getting on him. He seems to have found the top half of the net. It looked like early they were going after the top half of the net that the Maple Leafs were. And I don't think this is not doomsday for Toronto. I think we're going to see their character and what they can bring here to get back on top of this series. Florida's good. But there's holes there if Toronto can use their speed. And listen, in every series, it happened here the other night, your opportunities have got to find a way in the back of the net. You know, Spencer Carberry said today, you know, we got 10 opportunities last time, grade A chances. We know we can get to 13. He's not looking to get to 20.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how thin of a margin these games are. So for Toronto, those opportunities have got to go in the net.
You're watching and listening to Jody Shelley, covering the National Hockey League playoffs for TNT. Jody, in terms of overall what you've seen on the officiating, not just obviously Toronto and Florida, which we've focused on here, but throughout the league, and what's suspendable, what's not suspendable, what's even a 5-minute major or a 2-minute penalty here. Your overall assessment of, I don't know, the referees letting the boys play?
I love when they let the boys play.
You would.
I mean, I think we all do. I think the players love it because you kind of know where you're at. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I remember back in the day, like, you'd look at the ref and think, really? Okay, let's go. Like, this is, they're going to let it go tonight. I always have a soft spot for the refs, if you can believe it or not. I think that they're in a tough spot. I think some of these calls, I think all of us now react the same way. Ooh, that was bad. Or was it? Was it to the head? Is he hurt? Does he have a, you know, we go through the whole process. And I think they're doing a good job. I'd hate to see them take players out of series, but I think we should know when a player deserves to be out of the series. You know, I think that there's a lot of these gray area hits and some surprises that aren't suspended or talked about, and some are. And I think for the players, like Tom Wilson, for example, he tells guys heads up before he hits them now. And I talked to him about the other day. He's during the regular season. And think about this, guys. Kipper, I mean, we were trying to run guys over. And he, before he hits a guy, because for his and for them, heads up just before he hits them. He's not doing it in playoffs, but that's the element. That's how they're playing the game. And
he's
some
way
of these
too
big
nice.
Hits.
Way too nice.
To me, that's like giving your playing partner 2-foot putts all around and making him putt the one on 18. Well, like, you get the playoffs, he doesn't tell him anymore.
No, it's fair game. But he's a massive man. I mean, this guy's bigger than I thought he was. And it's to protect himself from being suspended and also protecting the other player. But I agree. He's not being that nice in playoffs, but we'll see. But I love it. I love the big hits. I just, I'd like to see more of that. Because, listen, don't you guys agree? I don't know. Maybe you don't. I talked to Butcher this quite a bit. You can't just go out there and play the games this time of year in a 7-game series. Something has to happen within the game. And I think the Toronto series, you have so many games within the game. Mm-hmm. I feel like this series could use a little more where there's, you know, bumping and crashing and maybe take the 2-minute penalty on the goalie, knowing you'll kill it. I love that part of this time of year.
It is a very fun and exciting part. The subplots in Winnipeg, Dallas have been Rantanen is ruining everyone in Colorado one shift at a time. And can Connor Hellebuyck be the guy that we know he can be? It feels like those are the two themes of that series.
It's amazing, right? That Dallas got Rantanen. I mean, what a nightmare for Colorado. We all know that. He comes here to Carolina and now he's in. And what he does to the Avalanche, that's who he is, though. That's an incredible pickup by Jim Neal to get him. And then Hellebuyck, you want him to play well. I mean, he is the best goalie in the world during the regular season. I was hoping he just hated that building in St. Louis. You know, I was there covering that game. It's raucous. They're on top of them. And some buildings you go into, you just feel like, oh, let's just get this over with. I was hoping it was that for him. I just sense that there's a lot of pressure around him personally and his teammates. They genuinely want him to play well. They want him to have that feeling of success on the road that he has at home. And right now, I don't think we're sold. We're still having that discussion. So hopefully it doesn't get too late here this early on Hellebuyck and he keeps that team alive.
The kicked in goal. What were your overall thoughts on it? We know how obviously
that's a goal. I mean, to me, that's a goal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because Hellebuyck played the puck. Yeah. You know, they took so long to review it, but once Hellebuyck plays the puck, it's a different play. So to me, it's a goal. And once they show that last angle of him swiping at it, the puck wasn't even going towards the net. And I said this today to a couple guys, don't you think on that rule, like a 7-year-old kid should be able to tell you if it's a kick or not. Like, it has to be that distinct, you know, where you could lay it there and be like, was that a kick or not? When we start breaking it down, was it a kick? Was it not? I think it should be very clear. If it's a kick into the net, no goal. But when Hellebuyck played it, that's a goal.
Yeah, it's funny. I saw someone saying that, like, when a player shoots the puck in their own net, the goal goes to the person who last touched on the other team, but then there's no assists. But there's assists on the goal. So for me, I agree with you. It's put in by Hellebuyck, but at that point, you just need to cut the assists out and make it clear what happened there.
Yeah.
That's an own goal. All right. So we'll take you to the other Canadian city. The Edmonton Oilers are in tough thanks to a goal with, I don't know, 0.4 seconds left, I think it was. Yeah. Was that one of the more insane playoff finishes you've seen or what?
I thought the Jets game was insane. I thought that goal they scored at the end of regulation was insanity. And that was another level of playing to the end of the game. And even the way Skinner played that, you're thinking, he's just thinking, okay, this game is over. Just kind of swim out there and block this. And it ends up in the net. So it's been the story of the playoffs. And I think a lot of teams understand, like, we're not out of this. Even when Winnipeg was down in St. Louis, they were down and they kept battling back. It's like these teams realize three goals isn't too much. Anything can happen. And to me, it all goes back to goaltending. You know what I mean? I mean, Skinner's in that spot. He comes in. That goal goes in. It's like, oh, boy. Now what's the dialogue in Edmonton? So if they can shore that up again and figure out how to get a goalie to go in there for six games and go on a streak, hey, they're going to have to at this point, but I love how unpredictable and wild this has been so far.
You think it's safe at this point of the Stanley Cup playoffs that we know for sure a goalie's not going to win the Conn Smythe here?
Yeah.
Like I've never seen many bounces, weird bounces in my life.
It depends on who emerges. I mean, Wall could do it right now. I mean, the way he's played recently. So I think it's safe to say, with Rantanen still doing its thing and everything going on, there's different heroes in every market, but geez, the goalies are in tough right now.
Okay, they still have time.
Yeah, they have time.
Yeah, I think they'll be okay. So do you think with a team like the Oilers, like can they continue to have success with that D-core, no Ekholm? It is surprising, I think, at least to me, that they handled the Kings with relative ease after a tough couple of first games, but do they have enough defense to finish the job here?
I think the Kings allowed them to find their game.
Yeah.
You know, they found their game. It wasn't just Connor and Leon. There was some team play at the end and allowed teams to get footing. And that's what Edmonton got out of the first series. Now, their defense, to me, combined with their goaltending, I don't have a lot of confidence in them. I love the Edmonton Oilers. I love those two players together. But when you're playing against them in a seven-game series, and I think of a team like Carolina, there's a game plan. And when I did the Colorado series, it was a game plan against against MacKinnon, and Makar was 80 to 90% of the game plan was against those two. So you think about it, those two guys in Edmonton, there's got to be some frustration with bad goals, bad defensive plays, and they are on the bench thinking, all right, we have to go score two more goals again? Like, we got to do this again? That's a hard way to go all the way in this league.
The other thing, too, is concerning is managing a guy like Darnell Nurse's minutes, too.
Yeah.
And if, you know, there's a fine line between 18 to 20 or 20 to 22 or 22 above, right?
He was in such a good spot earlier when Ekholm was there. I thought it was finally that simplicity of his game. But you're right. When it's that many minutes and when you get to that level, you get exposed a little bit more. It's hard on you. It's hard on the team. It's hard on the situation. And it's a little unfair to him in some circumstances. So that's a big loss. And that happens with a lot of these teams where the player that eats some of those minutes is out. Someone has to step up. They can do it for a certain amount, maybe a couple games. But then it always comes through in the end.
Are you surprised, speaking of individuals on that team, Corey Perry is tied for fifth in goals in the playoffs. Isn't that unbelievable?
It's crazy to me. And like, to watch that market, and to think that he plays with the fastest player in the world, I think there's no way. And then I watch, you know, it gives him time when those guys have the puck to get where he needs to get. Mm-hmm. And that's such a key in the offensive zone is players that have puck possession and have the attention of everyone else. A guy like Corey Perry doesn't have to be the fastest, but he's smart with his timing. He understands how to play that position and enables him time to get in there and build a little shack in front of the net or beside the net. He understands the value of keeping the play alive, and it's so important as a line mate. So good for him. I mean, it's remarkable to hear that he's in that category.
Just one more, and I'll let you go, Jody, because I know you got a big night ahead of you. But just, you know, when we talk about a Corey Perry or a Brad Marchand, there's certain guys that just are in such a comfort zone this time of year. So it's just not about essentially putting the puck in the net, but they really thrive on, I guess we could at times describe a controlled chaos. And there's others that you can just simply watch, and sometimes they look like a fish out of water this time of year.
Yeah.
But those two guys really stand out for me this time of year.
It isn't like, you think back to some of the playoff championships and some of the players that have been involved and how they became villains in other markets. Those guys embrace that role, not only against the opposition, but I think the dynamic in the locker room. Like, you know, when you're in the locker room with guys like that, they say something crazy. They're going to do something crazy. There's just a different element. It's against the grain. And I love that. I think Torch used to call it personality. You know, it brings a personality. Hartnell used to be like that a little bit, where, you know, he could invite the chaos and take the distraction and draw the power play and laugh at the bench. And then your mind is blowing that you just want to grab this guy. But that's where they thrive. And then they put the puck in the net or they score the big goal. It's remarkable. I mean, there's so much value in those veteran guys that understand that role. And it's so important for the impact of the whole game. And it's fun to watch. Games with personality and players like that are so much fun to watch.
Great stuff, Jody. Really appreciate your time. Great job finding that that hallway that you're in. It worked out perfectly.
Not bad. Thank you very much.
Have a great one.
Thanks for having me on. See you guys. Thank you.
Thanks. Appreciate your time.
That is Jody Shelley. Just to touch on what he said, and like a guy like Corey Perry, like we know Leon and Connor, it's their room, right? Mm-hmm. But guys will gravitate to Corey Perry just based on his success and comfort zone this time of year.
He
can drag people in.
Yeah, the word personality is interesting. You know, there's a class of like maybe a dozen guys in the NHL who have it, you know, create chaos, drag people in, aren't afraid of the moments, love the attention. Tom Wilson, Brad Marchand, Corey Perry, you can go around. It's a short list, and those guys, nice to have.
You always broke my heart,
Chuck,
when you told me about that they had the choice. He was dying
Spezza
to be a Leaf.
Spezza or Perry?
Was it Spezza?
No, it was not Spezza. Thornton. No, Wayne Simmons.
Right.
Simmons or Corey Perry.
Or Corey Perry. And that was how long ago now?
2020?
So we're talking Toronto Maple Leafs had.
Oh. It was 2020.
Kyle Dubas, I think. Corey Perry, you know, Ontario guy out of London Knights. Yeah, was all gung-ho. They just went in a different direction.
And he's just...
Scored 20 this year and 5 in playoffs.
He's just so good still in front of the net. And he gets to the front of the net, and those two guys get him the puck in front of the net, and he's got patience, he's got hands, he's got the ability to get there. He's so good at that.
Went to Montreal. I think after that, he went on this roll.
Yeah.
I'll give it to you after Anaheim. Dallas, Montreal, Tampa Bay, Chicago, Edmonton.
Yeah, it didn't...
Five teams?
And so great in Chicago.
Yeah,
well, but it was very good before that.
Yeah. No,
they went to the Stanley Cup final in Montreal.
And lost every year. Yeah, lost every year.
Lost in the Cup final with Tampa.
Yep. God, he was on Tampa.
With Dallas?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Cup final Dallas, too?
Yeah, in the bubble.
Years? In the bubble.
Yeah.
Three straight Cup final losses?
Yes. Yeah.
No accident.
No.
How many playoff games played? 6,000?
No, he's just...
224 playoff games.
But he's top 10.
224?
He's top 10.
That's a career.
Just driving to the Hall of Fame right now.
Wow, 134 points in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And a lot of that playing on the fourth line.
And still going strong.
Yeah.
And being a major factor right now in this series.
Yeah, Corey Perry is
ninth. He turns 40 in 3 days.
Corey Perry's ninth all time in
games played.
Two ahead of Chris Draper, one behind Glenn Anderson. So if they go on a run here, he's got a chance to get up into the top five all time.
Wow. And I think his 40th birthday is game 6 where the Oilers could move on.
Wow.
Yeah.
I went to a 40th birthday party on
Saturday
night.
Your friends are hitting that mark, are they?
Shout out Jeffy. He's not quite as accomplished as Corey Perry, unfortunately.
Yeah, well, not
Sorry,
many of us are.
Anyways, it's game time. Presented by Bet365. Visit the app's latest odds and find out why it's ever ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19+. Ontario only. Please play responsibly. Two games on the ice tonight, which we've been talking about. Washington are huge underdogs against Carolina Hurricanes tonight. They are plus 225.
Sorry, that's the 113-point Capitals?
Correct. They are on the road, obviously, against Carolina. Carolina is minus 275. They are just...
I like the Canes, but on what planet?
I mean,
so, by the way, the only thing I'm saying is there's value on the Caps.
The games are so boring.
The games are close and a little boring.
They're pretty boring. Maybe tonight will be exciting.
A lot more fun when you put 10 units on the Caps.
Yeah, for sure. Sure. But it's just a little boring, these games. And then later on, the big game, Vegas and Edmonton, game 4 in Edmonton. Edmonton is minus 115 on the money line. The Vegas Golden Knights are minus 105. Pretty tight. I have really no idea what's going to happen. No idea what's going to happen tonight. But and then looking to tomorrow night, the Jets are dogs on the road. And then all the way ahead on Monday, the Leafs are big underdogs at home. So that's the games going on right now. And you guys mentioned about the Conn Smythe and would a goalie win it? And I looked at it while you guys were talking to Jody. You know who the third favorite to win the Conn Smythe is? It is a goalie.
What team is that?
Not Freddie.
Freddie is 9-1 right now.
Don't bet that.
Mikko Rantanen is the favorite, obviously, at plus 450. Connor McDavid plus 600. Then the next favorite is is Frederik Andersen, then Leon Draisaitl at 12-1. So he's ahead of Leon. So there you go. I don't mind Barkov at 18-1 too there. Anyways, that was Game Time presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds and find out why it's ever ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus. Ontario only. Please play responsibly.
Barkov having a good series for you?
No, but I mean, they could win.
They win the cup. He's the captain. Yeah.
They could win.
Yeah. All right. Let's take a quick break.
Sure.
And when we return, we'll get into a little bit of a discussion on what's a suspension, what isn't.
Mm-hmm.
Nicholas Waugh on his cross check. We haven't talked about that in greater detail on whether or not you thought he should have got a game or not.
This is cross-checking.
He ends up scoring a goal.
Of course.
A game where a lot of people weren't expecting him to be in it. So we'll get into that when we return to Real Kipper and Bourne.
Hey, it's Blake Murphy.
And I'm Matt Bonner.
Join us weekday mornings at 11 as we break down all things Toronto Raptors.
It's the Raptor Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the program. As a reminder, this hour of Real Kipper and Bourne brought to you by Bet365. All right, so like I called him Nicholas Waugh because he's from Quebec. You're telling me it's Roy?
I don't know.
I believe it's Roy.
Oh, turn your mic on.
Oh. Okay, Matt Roy is pronounced Roy.
Yeah, yes. Matt Roy is
and
Roy.
I know. And let's say Nicholas. Okay, it's Waugh. It's yeah. Waugh. We're Waugh. We're yeah. Waugh. We're okay.
Matt Roy's from
Find Your Waugh. Isn't that a Hyundai or whatever?
Matt Roy's from Detroit. Nicholas Waugh is from Quebec. Quebec.
All right.
Barbara Wawa.
She's twice
friendly. Okay. So this is the one that
good talk, boys.
I will I'll never figure it out. Game 2, mm-hmm. Overtime. Nicholas cross check on Frederick. And they have a hearing.
Yeah.
And like you don't have a hearing just to fine a guy. Usually.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a hockey play.
They went all of this way to fine him $7,812.
It's a big one, though.
Cents.
It's a big one.
And 50 cents. Where does 50 come from?
The phone hearing is so you can go beyond the 5 limit, apparently.
No, the in person is beyond the 5.
Oh, and was he in person?
No, it was on the phone.
No. Yeah. It was a phone.
Yeah, phone is.
No, you're thinking games. I'm saying $5,000.
Oh, games. Yeah.
If you have a phone here, you could find more than $5,000.
So where does like $812.50 come above?
Maybe
like,
it's a percentage of salary
Max
or something.
Domi was fined for his
5K.
Late hit.
Yeah.
$5,000.
Yep, flat number.
Yeah. So is it different for like a charge or a cross check?
I think if they had
is there tariffs
had
involved?
A phone, I think if they had a phone call with Max Domi, they could have gone up to $7,809.11 billion, whatever random number.
See, the one thing the one thing, if I still played, I would thank the NHL for at least letting me know where the standard lies. It's almost as if
talking about like
moving forward.
So players can do what Waugh did now for $7K.
But I would next game have a
You'd be out $70K.
I'd have a wad of cash in my pocket.
I would actually
pay the referee off the face off.
Just stick it in its front pocket.
Can I tap?
$7,800. I'm not carrying 50 cents. So I'll owe you the 50 cents because it's going to clanker in my pants. Yeah,
yeah. So you just put it in his front pocket? Yourself something nice, big man.
I'm all set for this.
That one's terrible.
I will pay $7,000 for that cross check all day long.
In playoffs.
Let me pick my guy.
I was going to present
the case. It's going to cost $30.
Am I wrong?
No.
Am I wrong that I can turn around and go, okay, I've got that. I've got a free pass here on a fine.
You know, covering the Leafs, we saw Matthews get regular season games for one of those to Dahlin's neck. We saw Riley get 5 games. He traveled some distance to do it, but
he's looked him in the white of his eyes.
It doesn't graze off shoulder pads. It doesn't. There's force. There's malice. There's.
Can I try to present the case as to why he?
Yeah, sure.
He got 5 minutes in a playoff overtime.
Yep.
What is the equivalent of a period of playoff overtime?
I really hate the equivalent.
I know, me too. Like you said in our first hour, we have no idea how any of this stuff works. So I'm just trying to present the case of potentially what it is.
It's like dog years, minutes worth.
Maybe like what other possible reason?
I think you're right.
What other possible reason?
I think he's right.
We watched the video.
Gave him 5 minutes in playoff overtime. That's a pretty substantial penalty.
He stared him in his eyes and went bang.
$22.
I told you if that's the standard, and I'm allowed to weigh out what a 5 minute kill would do, either the first period or the third or overtime, and just let me know that that's not going to cost me a game.
Yeah. And then you just
I'll make the
presumably
decision.
The target doesn't matter. You just get to pick your target.
Five minute major. Can we kill this off? And they did. Obviously, the momentum sunk them.
Yeah,
in game two.
And then the trip.
Into the boards. But worked out okay.
But can I ask, though, like, you talk about the standard. We don't have any idea what the standard is.
It changes game to game.
It's willy-nilly.
You know,
it just feels like there's no...
We don't want to take guys away from the lineup. We want you guys to decide it.
Ideally,
we don't want to be a suspensionable league pulling out at times... important players.
Yeah, you want everything solved on the ice.
Yeah.
Give the guys a major, let the players go at it, whatever. It has to be really bad for us to pull someone out of a game.
Fair enough.
They have made that clear as a off-ice standard that it's still playoff hockey the way it used to be.
Yeah.
All right, let's get a little Jets talk. Are we at the point where Connor Hellebuck just plays home games?
I don't hate it. Quite frankly, I don't hate that.
Yeah. It's frustrating watching Hellebuck, but you know it's in there, right? He had the one game, and it felt like it was going to be his breakout turning point moment. Did you feel like it was that bad against
Dallas? Feel anywhere near where I watched him in St. Louis.
Bummer, the third one going in that he kind of deflects into his net is –
Do we have Scott Arneil's thoughts on the allowable kicked goal?
I believe we have both coaches. Derek, you got those clips for us? We'll play the first one. Scott Arneil on the kick.
The puck was kicked, but that heli directed it in to the net. The rule states that if the puck gets kicked, if it hits a body or a stick of anybody else other than the goaltender, it counts as a goal. It hit our goaltender's stick and went in the net. That is no goal. So they said that Helly propelled the puck in. I haven't seen the word propel in the rule book.
This almost comes down.
So they're saying basically playing the puck at that point. All I can say on it. That's what we take the rule as.
Right.
That's what we thought. You know, the situation. That's why we thought maybe it was going to go our direction. The rest of it, they made the decision. We got to live with it, and we got to move on from it.
I'm sorry to laugh, but you brought this up. The rule states that we got to get a couple of Molsons and go down to the fireplace. Yeah. Oh, he's like the most Canadian guy ever.
Now we're live to Gordon McKenzie.
Holy hell, the rule states.
Anyway.
Sorry.
It does come down to what is possession. Can you claim that Connor Hellebuck played that puck like he had possession? I don't know. That's pretty gray.
So if I kick the puck into the slot and a Winnipeg guy knocks it in the net, mm-hmm. is that still a kicked in goal?
I think what he was just saying, Arneil, there was that it would be a good goal if it goes in off one of another player after the kick. But because it goes off Hellebuck, who is the goaltender, they have not voided the kick yet. But he's deemed to have propelled it rather than just tried to make a save on it and failed.
How about rant and firing it?
I agree with Scott Arneil. If the word propelled is not in the rule book,
yeah.
find another way to describe it.
I think if you legislated this in court, like if you really took prosecution, defense, whatever, I think it's no goal. Like, I think he kicked it, and I don't think the rules definitively are clear enough to say.
Do you want to hear DeBoer's thoughts, boys? We have DeBoer as well, so we play the DeBoer clip, please, Derek.
Pete, on the video review, your counterpart, Scott Arneil, believes that if they ruled it a kick, and it appears they did, that the fact that it went off of Hellebuck's stick and in means it shouldn't have counted. That's how the rule reads. What was your read on that play?
Well, I'm not sure that's how the rule reads. I think the rule reads that if the goalie's making a play on the puck, that it's a goal. So that's the difference. Is it just deflected off him, or is he trying to make a play with the puck? And I think they got it right.
They could not have found a more gray area of the rule book for this goal. Like, this is the grayest.
That was such a radio host analysis from him.
We all collectively sound like morons.
Totally.
Trying
Are
to
other
describe
sports like this?
This. I don't
the
know.
The NFL is 100%.
Yeah, the NFL is
But, like,
sure.
when you start with, I think what it means.
Yeah.
Then, like,
here's my interpretation. Yeah.
Nobody knows what it means.
Tweet out the rule book part, Freege.
Oh, no,
Freege always does.
I read the rules. I'm all exactly. the kicking rules. And it's all kind of like, yeah, you know, like,
I guess.
But I mean, think about what we consider possession in hockey. You and I know that if you put a pass behind Cale Makar and he picks it up with his back skate, just a quick touch, that's possession. He's kicking it up. He has it. That's possession. But he touched it for half a second with his skate. Does Hellebuck have possession here? It is really getting into interpretive dance at this point. Like,
exactly.
Kind of. I think he didn't have possession. I think he's kind of whacking at it.
The thing that drove me crazy about it is, boys,
little from column A,
take a little longer.
Little from column B.
Hey, could you take longer next time?
7.5 minutes.
It's like, holy. If
I'm telling you, it is a
major. We don't even
know
here a day later.
It's a major buzzkill.
It is. That was such a great
game.
And
the TV.
Yes.
TV, honest to God, like, just go to bars, go to, like, you know, we'll return shortly, and just, like, don't even try to entertain for 7.5 minutes.
Oh, you mean like the colored bars?
Oh,
I thought you were meaning that, like, go into bars.
No, colored bars, yeah. Like they did in the 70s or 80s.
The NBA would have had, like, a live concert to fill that break or something, you know?
Yes.
Well, the NBA.
There you go.
The NBA.
That's what I want to hear for 7.5 minutes.
Their reviews are horrible too. They'll sit there and look at a hand bitten touched for 15 minutes, but sucks for the Jets because it really felt like that break, to your point, Kipper, sapped their energy.
Well, Rant and scored about a minute later, yeah. 49 seconds later.
Such a dog.
It's a major problem.
Dog.
Rantan is out of his mind.
He's leading the playoffs by multiple points now.
Out of his mind.
Which is pretty good. 18 points in 10 games, which is barely better than his playoff average.
Even with this is the goal that sunk him, yep. Right?
Goodness gracious, guys.
His all-world power move.
6'4", 215. Nah, we don't want to pay him more than 12.
So
I've made a huge mistake.
I'm telling you, I don't know where this story goes here, but a trip to the Stanley Cup final or winning the thing or winning the Conn Smythe, this could be regarded one of the greatest NHL storylines in history.
Kudos to Jim Neal, man. He landed the plane.
Oh, God, he just sat on it.
But this is like the Raptors getting Kawhi, right? It's like you wait for another team to have an opening.
8 years.
It was just there for the taking for him.
I guess.
He just walked into a great
God love
situation.
Jimmy Neal, nicest guy in the league. You can't give him credit.
Love Jimmy, but yeah. Jimmy didn't split an atom to land Rantanen.
Okay,
it was either there or the Leafs.
Oh my God.
Hey, that's it. There's only two choices.
I don't want to talk about that.
And maybe Vegas. Vegas.
Leafs couldn't use a playoff player like him, could they?
No more. No more Leafs branded talk.
Them with Rand.
No, I can't.
He is turning it into a potential made-for-TV movie. That's how good this storyline is.
Listen, I see the stuff that's on Netflix. Okay. Boy, is that good? Get on there.
They'll give him 20.
So the theory that I have is that Rantanen played a certain way and had great success with Colorado, but Nate was the driver, right? Mm-hmm. And he didn't have to be the driver. He played off of Nate because we know Nate. Coast to coast. He's a mule.
Yeah.
Now he goes to Carolina, gets off to a horrific start. They play a certain way. We know how structured they are. We just had Jody Shelley talk, and he looks awful. People bail on him, right? Stinks. No good.
Not this guy.
Right?
Yep.
Then he goes to Dallas off to a slower start, but Dallas doesn't have, and Wyatt Johnson's a great player. He's going to be a fantastic player. Rupe Hintz, okay, big, strong guy.
Love Hintz.
But, like, still not next level superstar stuff. He is now the driver.
The man.
He is the man.
Correct.
I'm coming through the neutral zone now. He's turning himself into what Nate used to do for him in Colorado, and it just dawned on him, I'm going to be the guy now driving. And that goal that he scored to make it 4-2 was, beautiful. It was Nate.
Yeah.
It was Nate McKinnon-like.
Totally.
And now he can do it. And now he's totally in his comfort zone.
You know my obsession with having the elite top-end guys and what I think about difference makers. You look at that Dallas lineup, like Jason Robertson, you know, like good player, Wyatt Johnston. Like, they got guys, but they needed a guy.
Yeah,
they got him. One of these, and they got him. And all of a sudden, it's like, you know, it feels like they're probably the cup favorite, up 2-1. You know, like, I think most people trust their goaltending.
They need Heiskanen, who's potentially...
Well, this is it. He's waiting in the weeds, right?
He's getting closer, I hear. I told you he was not going to go in the first round. He had no shot at the first round.
Stars are the favorite. Plus 330. Oilers next, plus 350.
Yeah. I don't like their D. I don't like their D at all, actually. Love Harley, and
better.
I love Heiskanen and Lindell.
If he comes back.
Yeah, Labushkin, CeCe, all of a sudden you're putting together a group.
My boy Harley. Love Harley. Harles.
Thank God.
He's going to make a lot of money, that guy.
He's also going to play for a lot of Team Canada's.
Yeah, that does seem very likely.
Jets. Jets talk. You guys get back in this series, we promise.
Oh, yeah. Dallas is the best.
Sorry, Jets talk. We got a little sad.
Give me a prediction on Vegas and the Oilers. 2-2 or 3-1?
2-2. 2-2. I think Vegas.
Stones. Should play tonight, they say.
I just think the Oilers goaltending is...
Connor night tonight. Oilers win.
Okay.
All right.
I hope so. But I would prefer.
No reason to move from wherever you are watching and listening, because we've got it all covered for you here at Sportsnet. Enjoy the games tonight, and we're back tomorrow on The Real Kipper and Bourne Show.